Jesus, the resurrection and the life. The frequently asked question on the internet is this: what happens after death? What happens after death? No one likes death. Death is a cruel reality. And someone said, death is man's greatest enemy is death. So we have problem with the death, and we ask many questions about death. Should we be panicked? Should we be panicked? No, we don't need to panic at all, because Jesus is resurrection, Jesus is life. Others do not bother about death at all. They live as if they won't face death, do not want to be reminded about death. I read this. One man in the Middle East got up in the night. He was hungry. He lit the candle and looked for dates. He looked one of the dates and he saw a worm, so he threw it out of the window, and he took the second one. Again he saw worm going around it, he threw it out. He took the third one. Again he saw the worm. Then he did something. He blew the candle off, started stuffing every date in his mouth. You know, we don't want to face the reality. Death, I don't want to talk about it. Billy Graham very beautifully said, we live in a death-denying society. We live in a death-denying society. That means, okay, I don't bother about it at all. I'm not going to talk about it. I want to live as life goes. That's not the approach we should take as well. The last miracle recorded in John's gospel is Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. This is the last miracle in John's gospel. Seven signs, seven miracles he recorded. He won't call miracles as miracles, he would call them signs, because these miracles point finger at Jesus. They are the signs. Whereas other gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the last thing that led the authorities to go against Jesus is Jesus cleansed the temple. That led the authorities to arrest Jesus or plan to arrest Jesus. But in John's gospel, this particular miracle, raising Lazarus from the dead, was the reason why they gathered together to plan for Jesus' arrest. They not only want to kill Jesus, they wanted to kill Lazarus, thinking that they would remove the entire evidence about Jesus bringing life to people. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Do you go to a funeral service late? Do you arrive late at a funeral service? Do you do that? Will you come after the burial is over? No. But Jesus can do that. Jesus can do that because he is resurrection. In him, everything will be resurrected. In him, there's full of life. He has everything in his control. We listened to this long passage from John's Gospel, chapter 11. Martha, Mary, two sisters, lost their brother Lazarus. He died. Before his death, they sent the message to Jesus saying that, please come, our brother is ill. But Jesus stayed there for some more time. By the time he came, Lazarus died, buried, 4 days have gone. Now, when Jesus arrived, the message went to Martha, and Martha came to meet with Jesus. The conversation is taking place outside the house, probably at the entrance of the village. Beautiful conversation. Martha lost her brother only 4 days ago, but she is talking sense. She has a full belief in God bringing her brother back to life, not now, but on the resurrection day. So you would see Martha talking sense to Jesus. A good conversation. Jesus said, "Do you believe that your brother will rise again?" She said, "Yes, yes, yes, he will certainly come back to life, but not now, on the resurrection day." What she said is that, yes, it's futuristic. Yes, it is on the day of resurrection. Yes, it is on the last day. We are not completely lost him. We are going to see him, but on the last day. It's futuristic. But Jesus said, "No, no, no, not at all. Your brother will rise again." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection. I am the life. In my presence, life comes. Resurrection happens." What Jesus is telling Martha is, Martha, resurrection is not about a day. Resurrection is not about an event. Resurrection is not futuristic. Resurrection is a person. Resurrection is Jesus. In Jesus, there is no death. In Jesus, life comes. In Jesus, resurrection happens. Resurrection is not an event. Resurrection is a person. Very beautifully, Jesus said, "In me, resurrection. In me, life." D.L. Moody was preparing a sermon for a funeral service. So he looked the gospel chapters to find out how Jesus acted in a funeral service. How Jesus faced a funeral. So he went through the Gospels and he found out that Jesus saw 3 dead bodies. Dead body at home. Jairus' daughter, who was 12 years old, died, and Jesus went there. Dead body at home. And the second occasion was Jesus saw a dead body in the street, a young man who died, who was a widow's son. They carried this dead body out of the village to bury him. Jesus saw this second dead body. The third dead body is Lazarus, who was buried. He was in the tomb. In all 3 occasions, in the presence of Jesus, death could not hold these people. Death gave way and they came back to life. The 12-year-old girl got up in the presence of Jesus. The dead body in the street, the young man, got up when Jesus said, "Young man, get up." And of course, today we read, "Lazarus, come out," and Lazarus came out. Yes, in Jesus, we have resurrection. In him, we have life. That's the reason in every funeral service, we read this passage. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection. I am the life." This is what we read in every funeral service. When someone dies, we don't say that he died or she died. We say, "She is slept in the Lord. He is slept in the Lord." Why we say that? It is all because people who sleep get up. And we don't say such person passed away. We don't say that. We say such person, so and so person, has passed on to glory. In Jesus, we have life, we have resurrection. Mary came to meet with Jesus. Of course, she came second. Why did she come second? Why she did come late? It's all because she was informed late that Jesus arrived. Martha came to know, she rushed. But when Mary came to know that Jesus arrived, she could not sit in the house. She ran. She came to Jesus. When she came to Jesus, the situation entirely changed. You know, you had to read the body language of Mary here. Many words are spoken by her body language. She did not simply come to Jesus. She ran to Jesus. She fell at Jesus' feet. She prostrated herself before Jesus. You had to start reading what she was saying to Jesus. Jesus, I missed you. I missed you, not my brother. In the last 4 days, I missed you terribly. The one person all along these days I was waiting is you alone. I missed you. You know, a lot of emotion involved. Of course, two sisters said the same, like, if you were here, our brother would have not died. They said that, even Mary said that, but her language is entirely different. And she says that, I missed you terribly. What a connection that she had with Jesus all along. She built a strong relationship with Jesus. And that is the reason that's what is revealed when she came and fell at Jesus' feet. She took the entire conversation to a deeper level. Until this time, everything went smoothly. It was philosophical. The discussion was theological. But she brought the emotional aspect into it. She took things deeper and stronger. She wept. Everyone wept. And Jesus too wept. The relationship that she built with Jesus is very, very strong. And Jesus looked at Mary at some point and said, Mary, you have chosen the better part. And it will not be taken away from you. That will not be taken away from her. She built a wonderful relationship with Jesus. Now, I have to bring this aspect here. There is a difference between knowing Jesus and knowing about Jesus. Mary knew Jesus. She was knowing Jesus. We know about Jesus. We have to move from that aspect to a further aspect, which is knowing Jesus. Charles Templeton started his ministry in 1945 along with Billy Graham. Of course, he accepted Jesus at the in 1936, but in 1945 he met with Billy Graham, and both of them started ministry with the YFC, Youth for Christ. They traveled, they toured entire Europe during that time, and they preached the gospel. They ran several together. They ran several evangelistic campaigns. But something happened to Charles Templeton. In 1957, he publicly denounced his faith. Billy Graham tried to counsel him, tried to teach him, but that did not go well. In 1957, both of them part ways. He became agnostics. He became atheist. In 1996, a book was published by Templeton, which is like, the title goes like this: Farewell to God, My Reasons for Rejecting Christian Faith. After 50 years of being an agnostic, a person called Lee Strobel interviewed him. He was 80. Templeton was 80 at that time. Lee Strobel interviewed him. This is found in a book called A Case for Christian Faith. A Case for Faith, not Christian Faith. A Case for Faith. You can read that book. It's available in Google as well. Lee interviewed him. And in that interview, he asked this question, a straightforward question. How do you assess this Jesus? How do you assess this Jesus? Templeton gave a long reply. Please go and find in the internet. He gave a long reply. He said that he was the greatest human being who ever lived, wisest person that I have ever encountered in my life. He kept on saying. And at the end, he said, If I may put it this way, I miss him. And he wept. Even an atheist says, I miss him. Why? Because Jesus is so genuine, so generous, so beautiful, so caring, so loving. No one can afford to miss him. No one should afford to lose him. Mary picked it up. Mary picked it up very beautifully. And she says to Jesus, In these 4 days, I missed you terribly. Jesus wept. Jesus is so beautiful. We all have to grow in our relationship with Jesus. We cannot afford to lose him. We cannot afford to miss him. Jesus wept. Did he weep because he can't do anything? Why did he weep in the first place? There was absolutely no need for him to weep. In a couple of minutes, he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He wept because he is part and parcel of human life. He wept. It's because he's full of emotions. He's wept because he is participating with our struggles, with our pains, and with our sorrow. And he is one among us. Then why did he come late? If that is the case, why did he come late? If he is understanding the struggle of the people, if he is knowing the pain of the people, why did he come late? He came late. You know, it's all because we think that God has to work in this fashion. We want God to work in our time frame. We want things to happen in our own way. That's the reason we miss our Lord Jesus. He is God. He is wonderful. He has a way to deal things. We cannot put order before him, but he acts. He acts in his time. The point here is, he is Lord and he is in control. We think that everything is over. It's dead. It's lost. It's sealed. Nothing can happen. When Jesus asked the tomb to be opened, Martha came running saying that, no, don't do that. It will stinking. You will have a bad odor. Don't open it. Jesus says that, open. You might have sealed some of your secrets and you don't want that to be opened. You might have said that it's my past. I don't want to look at it. That's sealed. That's dirty. That is stench. Jesus says, open. Open. I am willing to deal with that. In my presence, such dead situation will come back to life. In my presence, everything will be resurrected. Open. Jesus is telling the people to open, and when they opened, Jesus called out beautifully, Lazarus, come out. His word has got power. In his presence, life comes, and we see new life emerging. Lazarus came back to life. In this short meditation, we looked at certain things. Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is a resurrection, means resurrection is a person. In Jesus, there is no death, it's resurrection. We can build a relationship with Jesus. And also, he alone can change any situation to be resurrected. Any situation can change. I'll finish with this illustration. In English, we all know this physicist, Michael Faraday. He was once asked, have you ever thought yourself what will be your occupation in the next world? Have you ever thought what would be your occupation in the next world? Faraday hesitated a while and then responded very beautifully, I shall be with Christ and that is enough. I shall be with Christ, that is enough. That means his relationship with Jesus is much stronger and deeper. That's where we all need to be growing. May the dear Lord help us so that we have a deep relationship with our Lord Jesus. God bless us all. Amen.